Hey everyone, before we get into this episode, I just want to quickly mention that Dan John of danjohn.net actually sponsored this episode. He went out of his way to grab me at the Perform Better seminar in Long Beach and said, you know, I know you're kind of not getting the support that you're looking for with the podcast and stuff like that with donations, and here, I'm going to basically sponsor a show. And by doing so, he actually helped me out because he was able to get together about five or six people at the Perform Better seminar in Long Beach that I could sit down to and talk to. Like, these are up-and-comers that are doing some really cool stuff, some really interesting stuff that we were able to talk about in this episode. You'll see. Like, you got to stay tuned. It's really great. And, of course, you know, if you do like what we're doing with the FitCast, please go to thefitcast.com and check out the donation tab on the left-hand side. It's super easy to donate through PayPal. And if you've gotten something out of these last 300 episodes, I'd really appreciate your support to make sure information like this can keep coming to you. Because, man, I thought I was busy like 2 months ago. Things are hitting the fan. Things are just getting super nuts right now. And I want to make sure I can say, like I said, you know, people are kind of, you know, paying for sponsorship to support the show. I need to make sure I get episodes out there for people. So please do that. And of course, with Dan John, like, make sure you're checking out his stuff at danjohn.net. I've really trimmed down my library of books and DVDs, but all of his stuff that I've ever purchased is still in there. From Intervention, Easy Strength. Like, come on, if you don't have Easy Strength, you're crazy. His great DVD series. Just so much fantastic content in there that you really need to pick up. Just such great stuff from him. And it's just always a pleasure to talk to him, get him on the show. And from listening to the audience, you guys really love him too. So make sure you're checking out his stuff. It's also available on Amazon. If you want to go on Amazon.com, a lot of his books and DVDs are on there for the Kindle too. But make sure you're checking out his stuff, see what he's doing. If you can ever catch him live, must see. Like, no doubt. I see him as much as I can. I finally got to see him in Long Beach. So that is where all this stuff was recorded. So it was a little handheld portable recorder. And I'm hoping to do some more of these like live in person. But yeah, that's all. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let you guys get to the episode. And like I said, if you really appreciate and think what the FitCast is doing is good and you're in the position to do so, please, you know, show your support. Go to thefitcast.com and click on the donation tab. And, you know, let's keep this thing rolling. As things get busier, let's keep it going. Thanks as always. Take care. Okay, we are here at the Perform Better Summit in Long Beach. And like Chicago, I'm going to try to stop some people and talk to them, interview them, and get some great information for everyone out there about, you know, strength and conditioning, fitness, whatever you want to call it. And first person up is someone that I met a long time ago. It seems like now. I mean, maybe I think it was actually 2011 when Dan John came out to Boston.
Yeah, you came, the first day I met Dan too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, Sivo is going to be our first guest, and if you don't know him, he's worked for a long time in the industry. Most recently, you've been working out of San Francisco CrossFit, but on the side, or I shouldn't say on the side, but mainly you're working with people to help with behavior change and, you know, creating healthy habits and things like that. So first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to come on and talk.
Yeah, no problem, Kevin.
So first thing I want to ask you about is kind of your journey to get here. For people who don't know, this series that I'm doing is not necessarily up-and-comers, but maybe people that you haven't heard, people that I haven't had on the show. I want new, you know, some new blood on the show, and I want to talk to some new people. So for people out there, like, what got you into strength and conditioning? What got you into fitness and make you think, hey, this is something I actually want to, you know, put my life towards, I want to devote my life for?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how far you go back, but I usually start by telling people that I was a fat guy, just like them. When I got out of college, my first job was, I was a sommelier, and I was selling wine out of my car and working at restaurants at night and living on fast food that I could get in my car and meals that the cooks would cook me. So I put on about 60 pounds in a year. And yeah, needless to say, I was not in the best of shape. And a couple of years later, after working on the internet for a long time and doing other stuff that involved mostly sitting and snacking, I realized that I had lost complete touch with my body. Like, I didn't recognize myself anymore. It no longer, my body was no longer something that I could do stuff with. It was something that was a liability that I had to explain away. So I started trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. I started by running a block. I couldn't make the block. I threw up. And after a couple of weeks of trying to go a little bit further every day, I said, I need help. I need a coach. Mm-hmm. And I talked to someone who introduced me to my personal trainer, whose name was Steve Grubbs, and who was a brilliant, intuitive personal trainer. He finished high school barely, never been to a perform better, mm-hmm. never been to anything like that. But he was really smart about laying out what fitness was mm-hmm. one step at a time, one little change at a time. And I said, when I arrived, I was super motivated and super stoked. I was like, tell me what to do and I will do it. And he said, show up here twice a week. Mm-hmm. I don't care what else you do. Just show up.
So was this at like a YMCA or something like that? Or was it actually like a, you know, a personal training facility?
It was a personal training studio. Like he had a cert, I don't know from where, and he was doing it out. He still does. And he's a fantastic personal trainer. And after I started down that path, like everyone in this industry, I got into this industry because I was seeking my own salvation. It had fixed me, so now I wanted to go help other people. But my detour on that journey was I decided that I wasn't going to work for the internet anymore. I wasn't going to do any of that. I wanted to do what I had always wanted to do since I was a kid but was afraid to, and that was to become an officer in the Marine Corps. And I spent 14 months pursuing that and started training other officer candidates. Mm-hmm. And that was my little taste of coaching. And that was incredibly addictive. When I realized that I could take this knowledge that I had nerded out on to help myself and actually help people, I was hooked.
So who were some of your early influences, you know, getting information about this stuff to train those guys?
Early on, because it was a big running nerd, and because that's most of the Marine Corps physical fitness tests, I was obsessed with Tim Noakes mm-hmm. and ordered the lore of running when I was drunk and didn't realize that it was like 1,200 pages. So when it arrived in the Amazon box, I was like, what have I gotten myself into?
1,200 pages on running.
On running.
Okay.
I mean, there's some nutrition stuff in there, too. Tim Noakes, for those of you who don't know, is a PhD MD out of South Africa who's gotten controversial lately because of his views on nutrition, and I'll let people be their own judge of that. But the man knows his stuff about running, and I got really into helping other people do that, and that was a marathoner and all that other stuff that you do when you run.
So do you still run today?
Oh, go no.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, people are saying, you know, if you start running now, your legs are going to fall off, your skin's going to fall off, all that stuff.
That for me, personally, it was not that far off. For me, it was Achilles tendinosis in both tendons.
That will do it.
Yeah. I was training for a sub-3-hour marathon. Everything was looking good. About 3 weeks out from the marathon, I finally had to admit that the pain in my legs was so bad that I couldn't walk. So mm-hmm. maybe I should go see my doctor. And the MRI showed that I had about a couple weeks left before both of them severed.
Great.
And he said, yeah, let's not run anymore.
Okay, so you get your foot in the door, and you get to at least, you know, get your feet wet with coaching and things like that. So what was the first, you know, gig after that? Like, what was the next step that you took to start getting involved in this industry?
The next step for me was getting my CSCS, mm-hmm. Which I studied for a couple of weeks and took, and thought I was an amazing coach because I had taken that multiple choice test. And then I went to the RKC cert in San Jose and became RKC certified.
And when was this?
February of 2010.
Okay.
So, yeah, at that point I had been coaching people on the sly for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then this was my foray into doing it for cash money. Mm-hmm. And it was that RKC cert was the first time that I got introduced to – that was the first teaching cert I'd ever done.
Yep.
The point is to teach people. And that was a big deal for me. That was seeing that, oh, there's doing and then there's teaching. And they're different skills.
So, okay, you get certified and you start getting to work. And, you know, what was the next step to take from there? Was it, you know, starting to look for other mentors or to get some more information on the stuff? Because I know for me personally, it was just like, I need the next thing and the next thing and the next step.
Yeah. You know? For me, that journey came in two crises. The first one was when I got my first gig coaching at a gym. And it was like a training studio. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, you can train people here and people will come and mm-hmm. we'll introduce them to you, the usual stuff. And I got the first person to come in off the street who wanted to work with me. Mm-hmm. She was 80 years old. She was Irish. She had just come straight from Mass mm-hmm. at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday. And her trainer hadn't shown up for 3 or 4 times. So she was like, screw this. I'm going to work with you. I was like, great. I have my fresh CSCS. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And she said, I said, what are your goals? She said, oh, my doctor says I need to lose 15 pounds. Mm. And I said, oh, no problem. We can, you know, do this, and then we'll work on this, and then this, and this. And she cut me off. She said, yeah. I know what to do. I just kind of make myself do it. And I apologize if that was both Irish and Scottish.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. But I realized in that moment that the only thing I knew how to do was tell people to do stuff.
Of course.
I had no tools in my toolkit for actually improving their adherence or helping their motivation or making things a habit. And I knew I needed to figure that stuff out because I saw my clients' failures of motivation is my failures.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to go back to school and get a master's degree in sports psychology and exercise psychology.
Okay, so let's go to that because we were talking before we started recording about your thesis mm-hmm. That you had to do and what, you know, maybe that was the first step that got you to where you are now and doing what you're doing now. So for people out there, this is the thing that I'm most fascinated about today. It's not, you know, I know how to get people strong. I know how to get, you know, do a fat loss program. I know how to do a strength program and a hypertrophy program. The thing is, how do we make sure we keep people compliant with what they should be doing, you know, when they are not inside the gym? Or even for myself, like, how do I keep myself in check without, like, constantly thinking about, like, oh, man, do I need to log calories? Now people are telling me not to count calories. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you learn?
The main things I learned for coaches, like if this is your career, one of the most important things, and everyone's going to say this to you, but I'm going to reiterate it because everything else I tell you won't matter unless you do this one thing. And that is you have to listen to your clients.
Mm.
And that isn't you have to let them talk. It means you have to listen to your clients. We get a lot of crap in this industry, personal trainers do, for being, you know, quote-unquote therapists to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you need to be a therapist to your client, but you need to be able to listen to them. I spent, in the course of my master's degree, 400 supervised training hours of counseling skills. I know how to, like, there are skills to listening. You don't need that much training to do the basics. You just have to be genuinely interested mm-hmm. in what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that you need to know about how to help that person is going to come out of their mouth at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen, ask the right questions, and leave space for them to keep talking.
So for people that, you know, self-assessment is something that people want to do because they might not feel comfortable sharing, you know, with other people. There's people just say, you know, I'm not going to spend, you know, the $200 to go to a therapist or something like that.
Yeah.
So is there anything that people can do, like if they're listening to this and there's just one of those, one of those people out there that just can't stay consistent, whether it's with their training or their nutrition or diet, whatever you want to call it. Is there anything or any advice that you'd give them to help them get on track and to be able to stay consistent with what they need to do?
If you're having this internal dialogue with yourself, I think that it's really important to get to the core of what you really want.
Sure.
There is a drill that I do with when I work with people or we work in groups, and it can be a little intense, but it's certainly illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I pair people off, or I work if I'm working with them one on one, and I just sit directly in front of them. With calm, neutral body language and ask, what do you want? And then I'll let them answer. And then as soon as they're stopped talking, I say, what do you want? And we just keep going for two straight minutes. You'd be surprised what comes out.
Well, how many layers do you usually get from someone? Is it usually like, oh, you know, I just want to lose 10 pounds to go to the beach this season? Or
yeah, and that's a perfectly fine answer. There's no wrong answer to that question.
Yeah.
There's no wrong answer to what people's goals are.
Are you able to share, like, what is the most, not interesting, but what is the one of the, like, the deepest answers that you've gotten? Like, you just saw, you just peeled off so many layers. Is there any, like, examples you could give?
Yeah, I mean, I think the deepest answer is usually the same answer that I get from most people, which is, I want to do this for someone. It's a connection with someone else. They're trying to make a connection, doing it for someone, even if it's not for someone in a positive way, if it's despite someone. I'm going to do this because fuck my ex-husband. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, those are the stuff. That's the deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the stuff that is going to get them to come back. As personal trainers, if that's not an area that you're comfortable delving into, I think one of the rather than just being aggressive and going at it that way, I think one of the best ways to do it, and this is a quote from Ed Deasy, who's one of the founders of self-determination theory, which is something that I based my thesis on. We cannot motivate anyone. We can only create an environment where people feel emotionally safe to motivate themselves. So making sure they don't feel judged. And if it's just you asking yourself the same questions, doing your best not to judge your own answers. Just keep listening. There's a bunch of drills that I'll go through for the same thing. I call one that I use in all my assessments. I call it 5-3 first. I have the person list every single goal they want. Because usually, like, if you've got someone who's come to the gym, Kevin, I know you know, you're like, what are your goals? And they list 15 of them.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, great. None of those match up at all.
Yeah.
I let them do that. And then I ask from that list to pick five. And then from that list of five, pick three. And then from that list, what's the first one they want to work on? Because it makes you think about prioritizing and makes you think about why you want stuff without me as the coach aggressively asking you. I'm just asking you to pick five, and all the prioritization happens on their end, or in the case of you're asking yourself these questions, it happens between your ears. And another thing that I love about it is that instead of asking what the one goal is, asking what the first goal is, people don't feel like they're not going to get the other ones. People are really motivated by a fear of loss. So getting them to just pick one is very scary. So instead of saying one, say first. What's the first thing we're going to work on?
Friggin' interesting stuff. I like this stuff. All right. Before we go any further, you mentioned that you met... Got to bring him up.
Oh no, I
got to bring him up.
We kind of cut the story. Me, like I said, there were two big crisis moments that I had, and
Go ahead.
The other one was when I met you, and you probably don't even know it. So I was having this. Pardon me. I'm a philosophy major, existential ennui, where I did not know if I was gonna I didn't know how to make a career in this industry without selling my soul, without just becoming a shitty person.
Yeah. It's like do I do internet marketing or like whatever? Or,
right.
Or is it just like, how do I sell myself to clients just to get as much money as possible?
Right. And I did internet marketing on the internet.
Yeah.
And I was done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was right after I decided to go to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
It was in January of 2011, I saw that Dan John and Mike Boyle were going to be speaking at the
NBSC.
And I said, if these two guys, who are the two people in this industry that I trust the most, mm-hmm. can agree on anything, I want to know what it is. I want to write it down.
Yeah.
And I went out to Boston,
mm-hmm.
met Kevin, and I also heard Dan John speak for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his talk, and I was just completely blown away that there was someone in this industry with that much genuine integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who was not bullshitting and cared so deeply
mm-hmm.
about everything he was saying. I ran up at the end and introduced myself and said, over the course of his talk, he mentioned that he lived in San Francisco.
Yep.
I live in San Francisco and thought that he lived in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran up to him and said, Dan, I'm Steve-O. I live in San Francisco, too. When Dan tells this story, he says I intimidated him, which Kevin's looking at me. He knows that I weigh 100 pounds less than Dan John. How I intimidated him, I will not know. But he gave me his phone number,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, he invited me to the Coyote Point Kettlebell Club,
yep.
and I started hanging out with Dan every week, and then it became every day,
mm-hmm.
and ever since then, I've been Dan's intern slash buddy,
mm-hmm.
And I've been going everywhere with Dan and helped him write Intervention,
mm-hmm.
Moved into his house for a couple of weeks and worked on that with him. And yeah, so Dan is a huge influence on my life.
Well, with that being said, as we start getting towards the end, like what's that influence been like for you? Like what have you taken away from, he's obviously a very inspirational person. Mm-hmm. He's a great speaker, but you've had a lot more contact than anyone else is ever going to, have with him besides family. So, what have you learned from him that is something that you kind of like have carried over to day-to-day life?
The biggest thing, and I've learned so much, it's silly to even enumerate, but, is living and being in this industry with that integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Dan does everything that he says.
Yep.
And everything that he asks of anyone else. And he told me this is a little example. He told me very early on, never tell your clients about a workout you wouldn't do or you haven't done. That's mm-hmm. stupid.
Yeah.
And like little things like that. But he's also shown as a mentor a life that's not just in health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I lived with him and I spend a lot of time with him, and he is the same person when you meet him at Perform Better or when you go to his house for practice Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
or when you're sitting in a hot tub in Costa Rica. He is the same person. He tells the same stupid old man jokes. He is that way. But one of the things that I took for career is to trust that instinct that you have when you're working with people. If you genuinely care about what they want and how to help them,
mm-hmm.
and you are listening, then a lot of the things that you're hearing in the back of your head are probably true. And one of my favorite stories about that is, while I was going through graduate school, I would come up with I would be with Dan and I would see how he was working with clients, and I would be watching and looking at all this great sports psychology that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that he would laugh if I told him that. Like, he's like, sports psychology, I'm just coaching.
Yeah.
And then I would go to my professors and I would work with clients using that stuff, and their minds would blow up. And they say, that is amazing. You're so creative. Where did you come up with that? And I would say, I just made it up.
Yeah.
Because it's great. The great coaching is out there.
Mm-hmm.
The great sports psychology is out there. Great coaches are doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to help people stay motivated. They know how to help people. The thing that's missing is a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches aren't talking about that with each other. We'll talk about the FMS screen and the 64 different ways to coach the squat.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 days, Kevin, Perform Better.
Yeah.
But no one's talking about the other 167 hours per week that our mm-hmm. clients aren't with us,
mm-hmm.
which is where their actual work gets done.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you have going on because, you know, again, this is just one of the most fascinating things that we're still learning about in the industry and trying to figure out what works because just people are so different from one another, like figuring out what works for each person. But first off, unseendegrees.com is the website, but you're also putting together a summit for that. Can you talk a little bit about that? And that's unseendegrees.com/summit is where you can check up the info on that.
Yeah. Just as I said, I think that there is a missing conversation here.
Mm-hmm.
I started Unseen Degrees, which is my resource for habit-based coaching for coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's where I put weekly and sometimes more than once a week articles up about habits, motivation, research reviews,
mm-hmm.
and tips from my coaching and tips from other coaches. And I started this process and realized how much great stuff was out there,
mm-hmm.
how much great coaching is going on. And when I say that, I mean like sports psychology type coaching,
yep.
improving motivation and habits. And I said, this conversation needs to happen and I've got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Screw it, let's do it. And I put together a summit. The summit is on September 27th. It's in Salt Lake City. It's no coincidence that Dan John lives in Salt Lake City and this summit is in Salt Lake City. And it's going to be 100 of the most passionate coaches
mm-hmm.
in a structured conversation about the other 167 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this as a, it's in the tech world, it's called an unconference.
Yep.
There are no keynote speakers. There's no program.
Mm-hmm.
All the content is created by the people that show up.
Hmm.
And the way that we do that is if you have the passion to speak about a particular problem,
mm-hmm.
if you have an answer, if you have a great Facebook page that is motivating your clients, if you're doing Taco Tuesdays and that's motivating your clients, we want to hear about it. Even if you don't have something like that, but you have the passion to ask a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have this 80-year-old client and I don't know how to get her to squat.
Mm-hmm.
We will give you the space and the time to have that conversation. And you can go to any of these little sessions you want. You can move between them. You can make your own.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, get a conversation going, get people talking about it and writing it down so mm-hmm. that we can all learn from each other.
Very cool. Well, just for if you want to check out Steve-O's other stuff, first off, you can follow him on Twitter at @coach_Steve-O. That's STEVO. And of course, on Facebook, everyone's still on Facebook. I mean, we haven't moved on to the next thing yet. It's coach_Steve-O, all written out with letters. So, of course, thank you so much, Steve-O, for taking the time to talk about this stuff. And this is just going to be like an introduction. We're actually going to do a full episode down the road. But since we are here in beautiful Long Beach, California, I figured it'd be great to get you into an empty ballroom and to talk to you in a nice echoey studio and see what happens.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. I hope we get to do it again.
On the internet. We are still in the Long Beach Perform Better Summit, and Dan John came up to me and he said, I have some great young people in this industry that you need to talk to. So first off, we're going to be talking with Sam Helprin. I got the last name right. Great. And first and foremost, like, what's your background? Like, what got you into strength and conditioning or fitness or, you know, it sounds like a little bit more of the rehab type thing.
Well, really, it wasn't a cut and dry case. I just started school and I knew my interest was in anatomy and science and things like that. And just really through elimination, I knew I didn't want a desk job and I knew mm-hmm. I wanted to help people and I wanted to move. And I liked things that were active. I liked working mm-hmm. out. And when I came across the idea of being a physical therapist, it just seems like it really kind of fit everything I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran with it. And I said, okay, this sounds like a fun job. I'll just go for it. So that's really all it took for me to get into it.
So you enjoyed anatomy class, anatomy and physiology?
I did. I don't know why, until it was gross anatomy and I had to cram all the information in within 2 days, but yeah. It was still fun.
What did you dissect?
Humans and gross anatomy. Yeah, it was all cadavers.
We did cats. Okay, so after leaving school, like, what was the next step? Like, where did you start out? Where did you intern, and where did you work?
Well, I did a lot of clinicals while I was still in school, so I actually did a few different rotations just in outpatient clinics in Buffalo, New York, where I'm from. I went out to Raleigh, North Carolina, and worked at the hospital. Went out to Utah and worked in a nursing home. I kind of settled back in Buffalo just for a little bit. Took a first job that was offered to me. It was half outpatient and half rehab facility. I was there for just a little bit. I got the itch to travel, so I took some jobs as a traveling therapist. I went to Texas, Albuquerque, Seattle, and then back to Utah and decided to stay there. And I just worked for the last year and a half at a small outpatient clinic in Utah. And now I'm off to developing this program at Age Performance. So that's my new endeavor.
Okay, so for the most part, are you working, I guess, what would you say is the population you want to work with the most? Are you like, I want to work with athletes, or I want to work with the older population? Like, is there a specific one that you look to work with?
Yeah, I want to work with the older people.
Okay, I have to stop you there.
Okay.
This is kind of weird because we're at a Perform Better seminar where, like, everyone's like, I want to train the elite athletes of the world. What made you want to treat, whether it be, like, older adults or elderly? I know you mentioned you're working at a nursing home for a little bit, which, now, I had a grandmother's in a nursing home and not the, you know, most uplifting environment to work in. So I'd love to hear, you know, why.
Pretty much you kind of said it in a way. In places like physical therapy and training, I'm sure as well, the really area that everyone wants to go to is sports training and, you know, athletes and, you know, they're kind of the more fun, exciting, motivated in a way kind of people that people want to work with. Well, it almost created this big gap, it seems like, especially in the world of physical therapy. So you have a lot of people specializing in speed performance and, you know, manual manipulations on this and that. Everything that kind of focuses around these young athletes, active people, and the people everyone wants to work with. Well, if you go on the flip side, at least right now, for the majority of physical therapy services that are out there, you give people somebody older, they have no clue what to do with them. So they treat them like a little kid. They don't let them pick anything up over 5 pounds. And these people just get worse and worse and worse. And those people are really, when you look at it, they need it the most out of anybody. They're the ones at serious risks for falling and hurting themselves and just their strength declining at a rate so much faster than any kid could be. And there's really no people out there who's stepping up to help them. And when you are that person to step up and help somebody in that condition, it's way, way, way more rewarding than helping any little kid learn how to throw basketball.
I could not do that. I couldn't, you know, like I said, that's all the credit in the world to you for being able to do that. So what's like the normal process of, you know, taking someone from post-rehab? I'm guessing you're dealing, are you going like way towards the older end where you're working with like hip replacements and things like that? And like, what's that process to get them moving again?
A lot of what I focus on is really based around what Dan John preaches is the 7 basic movements. No matter what happened to you, if you had hip replacement, if you're 90 and don't know how to walk anymore, or if you're 50 and really not doing too bad, you just need to get in shape. It's all about getting your movements back and building your strengths on those movements and then just progressing you up from there. So even though everyone has a different starting point because of what happened to them or what surgery they had, it's just about establishing that baseline within your movements and just getting stronger and, you know, taking the same continuums for everybody.
So what's interesting to you when you come to these seminars? Like, what kind of, like, are the things that you look out for? I want to know more about this. Or even just outside of these seminars, what are you reading? What's, you know, what are you thirsty for knowledge of?
That's a good question. I mean, I like everything, of course, but like what I'm reading right now, I like to read a lot about pain and dysfunction because I am a physical therapist. And so I read a lot of Stuart McGill and Greg Cook and the people skewed more on the rehab, how to deal with pain side of things. but why I like coming to perform better is because, like I said, we're all people. So mm-hmm. I need to know where these people are going to end up.
Yep.
You know, for me to know where they're starting at, but not where I'm going to try to get them to, doesn't do very well as a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing a lot of physical therapists are lacking right now. They might know how to deal with someone in pain, but mm-hmm. as soon as they get moving a little better, they have no idea how to make that person squat again or deadlift mm-hmm. again. And they're kind of like, well, you don't have any pain. I don't know what else to do with you, but mm-hmm. here you go. So this shows me the rest of that whole continuum. So I know exactly where they're going. I know where their end vision is going to be mm-hmm. and what we're working on. Even if I only see them 2 weeks after a knee replacement, I still know where they're going to end up in the end.
All right. So not to put you like on the spot or anything, but you know, I know no website or anything, but if people want to like check out what you're doing, is there, you know, at least a website for H Performance or anything that they can do to check out anything like that?
Yep. The program we have right now, H Performance Plus, it is very, very new still. Mm-hmm. So there's not a ton out there online yet. But if you go to hperformance.com mm-hmm. and check in with there, you will be able to see more about just the gym and their philosophy, which is also my philosophy. Mm-hmm. And soon enough, that should be added onto the site along with my contact information. So if you just keep up with hperformance.com, and you'll see everything that is to come with H Performance Plus from there.
Awesome, Sam. Sam, really interesting stuff. Like, it is, again, don't want to say doing God's work, but like from having a grandmother with, you know, Parkinson's and seeing like what, you know, nursing homes can be like, and deterioration with whether it's, you know, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or, you know, whatever you have going on that is causing movement to be a little bit more difficult. Really interesting stuff. So thank you for coming on and talking about this stuff. And hopefully down the road, we'll be seeing you present and talking about all this awesome stuff that you're doing for the older population.
Great. I hope so, too. That would be great.
Believe it or not, we are still here at the Long Beach Summit in beautiful California, and we are talking with some of the best young minds, the up-and-comers in the fitness industry, to see what they're doing, what they're thinking about. And I am with Mark Halpern, who, again, if you listen to Sam's interview, I said the last name wrong, so I apologize after the fact, I guess. And we have Mike Brown as well, both of leanbody6.com. First off, Mark, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
And Mike?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us.
How could you not be doing great? We are in California. The sun is out and it's perfect weather. But like I said, I want to talk to you guys about, you know, what you're up to. And first off, Mark, can you talk a little bit about your background? How did you get into the industry and what are you really interested in?
Sure. So when I was in high school, I ended up losing 70 pounds. Got in shape. It changed my whole life. I mean, it changed my personality and how I interacted with people. So I wanted to give that back. So I went to college. I got my master's in nutrition, bachelor's mm-hmm. in exercise science, and then went on to become a registered dietitian. Mm-hmm. Been working for myself for 12 years, and now we're starting to get onto the online community.
I have to take a step back, and I got to ask you about getting your master's in nutrition. Sometimes some bad labels when it comes to dietitians in the world. So I was just curious, like, when you got out of college and you started like reading other stuff, like the, you know, more popular stuff that's in our circle, if you think about like the Perform Better stuff, how did you feel the content was from your education at school? Did you feel like you had to like wait until you got outside of that circle to start learning about, you know, the latest research?
Yeah, so my knock on the RD was that they're very medically based, so mm-hmm. they're looking at studies for people in hospitals and all those things. They don't really have a huge knowledge base for sports nutrition, fat mm-hmm. loss, and a big thing they're missing is how to coach it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what we're trying to do, is bridge the gap there and get RDs who are really smart people and mm-hmm. really, you know, want to help people. We just have to help them coach it and get them into mm-hmm. the real world where they can actually do those things, unless you're going to work in a hospital, which, you know, which is what the education is actually geared for.
Yeah, and that's no fun. So, Mike, I got to ask you, what's your background? Where are you coming from? What did you do in school? And, you know, what was the first gig once you got out?
So my first time I fell in love with coaching was actually when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I started coaching the JV lacrosse team while I was still playing as a senior. So fell in love with that, coached all through college, got my degree in marketing, and my senior year realized, you know, just through all the coaching, how much I loved it. Mm-hmm. Was looking into going to grad school for exercise science, and then read the foreword for one of Pavel Tatsalin's kettlebell books and realized there was this Dan John guy who had wrote the foreword. Found some of his articles and really loved his stuff. And then I realized he was living probably about 20 minutes away from me. So I said, you know, kind of decided one day, you know, worked up the courage, just shoot him off an email, see if I could get an internship. Mm-hmm. Went through the real rigorous process. He just said, yep, show up on Monday. Came down, spent about 6 months to a year with Dan working at Juan Diego Catholic High School in Sandy, Utah. You know, really took me under his wing as a mentor. And then his wife actually got transferred to San Francisco for her job. So he had about 2 weeks to graduate his daughter and move his entire life to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Went out there for about a year. I stayed back behind in Salt Lake City, trained high school athletes, and kind of just built up a small training business there. While Dan was in San Francisco, he started a free training group where he'd just say, welcome any all-comers at 9:30 in the morning, show up, train, and then we'll, you know, hang out, have some beers, drink, eat some sandwiches afterwards. So that was kind of a start of what he calls the intentional community. So he came back to Salt Lake City and you know, shot me an email, gave me a call, and said, hey, why don't we start one of these here in Salt Lake City? Mm-hmm. So we did that for a few years. Our groups slowly would start to grow, 9:30s every day, totally free. You just had to be able to put up with Dan. Mm-hmm. And then Mark shows up from New York, walks in first day. Dan welcomes him in, says, congratulations, you just signed up for the Strong First certification. You got 6 weeks to get ready for it. And we just have built an awesome community from there. So that's kind of my background, training high school kids. And then recently we've moved towards an older baby boomer kind of middle-aged market.
Sorry, we got interrupted by people showing off the room that we probably shouldn't be in to do this recording. Anyways, let's take a step back. You got your bachelor's in marketing. Right. And so what was that process like? You basically are going to say, I'm going to kind of throw away the last 4 years of the education that I paid for, and I want to do something completely different with my life. Like, that's not an easy decision, is it?
Yeah, it actually was easy because that whole last few years, I mean, I had started coaching, as I said, in high school. So it was always a big, big part of my life. And when I made the decision to, you know, not go into the business world, not go into an advertising or marketing profession, I didn't feel it was necessarily throwing away that career. It was, you know, making the decision to pursue kind of what my passion was and try to make a career out of that rather than. So I feel like I got a good base with the college degree, but ultimately chose to, you know, move on and really get that practical learning from a guy like Dan who's so gracious and generous with his knowledge.
Yeah, it's all right. So let's talk about what you guys are doing, because obviously you're working with Dan John for a couple of years, and you know you're getting the strength and conditioning portion down, and that's one of the things that you brought up was that morning lift at his house. You know, what does that mean in terms of results for you guys? Is it really just like a motivating factor to know that, yeah, I'm going to have to show up, or I'm going to have like this big mean guy call me on the phone or something like that, or come and get me? Or like, what was it? Is there some magic there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, even as a personal trainer, it's hard to work out on your own, right? So I found I was the most consistent finishing programs with the group. And nothing about it's negative. No one's going to call you and yell at you, but it's, you almost feel that social pressure. You have to show up, share stories, talk shop. So that's been amazing for me, because I always worked out alone until I moved to Utah. So I know just for me, it's made a huge difference in working out, and then started to realize that it could be for other people as well.
Was that kind of like the same thing for you, Mike? It was just like the building of a community?
Yeah, and again, so we call it an intentional community. We're coming to get together, bounce training ideas off each other, and the idea is, you know, a lot of us were working out on our own or came from a sports background and, you know, had some knowledge and training, but this kind of brought us all together and just made it, you know, the sum was greater than the parts, and just really, you know, developed the ideas. We have, you know, now we've even branched out and have people coming from other gyms, mm-hmm. all the way out to Dan's to train. We got Super Bowl champ Rob Morris and his gym Lyceum comes out a few times a week to train with us, and it's just, you know, built this great community locally. So it's been a big part of our lives.
Well, talking with you guys, that's like your hurdle, that's your goal, is how do you transition this, you know, in-person community to the internet? Because the internet is fantastic because anyone can connect with anyone, you know, for relatively low prices depending on who your provider is. So what is, you know, what's that process like to try to take the magic that you have from those morning lifts with Dan John and that community? How do you translate that into an online community?
So we have, I mean, we're using technology for the programs. It's all good training, so you have to start there. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to create cohorts. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, Coach Steve-O, and Josh Hillis do the same thing. So we're trying to integrate that online by either creating a email group or a small group on our actual site and teach people how to help coach each other. Mm-hmm. So even though it's not in person, they're still checking in with each other every day. Mm-hmm. We could share stories on the forum. We could do all those things. So maybe it might not be quite as good as in person, but we're reaching so many more people. So mm-hmm. we're willing to make that sacrifice. But still, having them check in with each other every day, we check in with them, keep each other motivated. I think we can get the same magic there.
Mm. And Mike, is there like a specific number that you're trying to lock in for these communities? Or is it just like, you know, if I have the Boston community, like anyone can join the Boston community or something like that?
So as far as the groups, we'll be using primarily habit-based type of change. Mm-hmm. So what we like to do is keep the groups small and working towards a similar habit. Mm-hmm. Cool. So the groups could be anywhere from 5 to 10, just depending on who we group together. Mm-hmm. You know, taking people of different abilities, different strengths, and mm-hmm. then kind of bringing them together to, you know, bring out the best in each other that way, take ownership of the process rather than having the coach kind of be the superstar. We want to make, you know, the group the leader, work with each other rather than, you know, just being told what to do all the time. So about 5 to 10, to answer your question, though, all working towards the same type of goal. So mm-hmm. some people might have, you know, trying to get in the habit of training, mm-hmm. and we'll put them in a group. Another group might be working on, you know, really locking in nutrition and working mm-hmm. on, you know, locking down their macronutrients, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, and we'll just kind of put them together based on their common goals. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I, you know, got to ask, Lean Body 6, like, why was Lean Body 5 taken? Like, what's the deal with the website name?
So Lean Body 6 was basically, we're thinking kind of from physiology and psychology. A lot of people, when they're planning out their training cycles, they'll either stay on something way too long and way after it's been effective, or they'll program hop, stay on something for 1 to 2 weeks and won't get any adaptations. Mm-hmm. So we found 6 weeks to be a pretty good time to, you know, build towards an adaptation you were going for. And then psychologically, we aren't going to say, you know, here's a 12-week program, you know, put all your family aside, put your job aside, and you have to get this 12 weeks. So we found it a good time. And then the name Lean Body 6, we get the question all the time, why Lean Body 6? And we love to sit and talk about it. So it was kind of a name that provoked the question. So
that's much better than having 1 through 5 already taken. All right. So, guys, thank you so much for taking the time. We actually got to run. We're getting kicked out of this room. But you can check out the website at leanbody6.com. Mike and Mark, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And the website's still in beta, so be kind and offer helpful suggestions.
Thank you very much for having us. We hope to see you.
Still in Long Beach. I'm not leaving this place because the weather is too damn nice, and I am here with Taylor Lewis. Again, another guy that Dan John came up to me and said, I got some people you need to talk to this weekend. Taylor's one of them, and even better, he focuses on baseball, which is kind of a big deal these days now that, like, baseball players are actually starting to figure out that maybe they shouldn't throw 13 months out of the year. But Taylor, anyways, thank you for taking the time to talk.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, first off, what's your affiliation with Dan John? How did you get hooked up with that guy?
That's kind of a funny story. So, in, like, 2011, it was
my first year kind of in the industry, and I'm brand new right off the boat in a sense with it. And I was training hockey players, and Mike Boyle was having a one-day seminar, and I said I had to go see him. Yeah. So I went in a couple days because I wanted to see Boston, see the area. And when I got to the bar, I sat at the bar after I checked in, and a guy tapped me on the shoulder maybe 20 minutes later, and he asked if he could sit down. And being new, I had really didn't know Dan at the time and what he's done as an impact on the strength and conditioning and personal training community. And so he sat down and he asked me, he's also, what are you here for? And I was like, oh, the Mike Boyle one-day seminar. And I was really stoked because this was new to me. And I was just, you know, made this just jump to go do something like this. And he's like, oh, really? And he's like, my name's Dan John. I'm the keynote speaker. And I was just like, So for 3.5 hours, we just talked. I mean, you know, multiple whiskey drinks later, he's writing on napkins different things of what he's going to talk about. And he kept on talking about how tomorrow we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that. Well, I came in a couple days early and I was like, Dan, we're doing this on Saturday. Tomorrow's Friday. He's like, oh, Mike flew me in a day early. He's like, do you want to go tomorrow and just watch what I do? And I'm just like, yeah. So I changed my whole plans. And the next day I get up and Dan's there. And sure enough, Mike comes to drive up to the hotel room. And by the time it's all said and done, I'm thinking in my head, I'm sitting in the back seat of an SUV with Mike driving and Dan John talking back and forth. And I was like, this is just, it opened the floodgates that whole weekend, just kind of followed them both around and just listened to them speak and interact with clientele and different individuals. And they gave me an opportunity that doors just flew open to how these different aspects of training and how you should go about things and understanding there's not just one way to do things and multiple tools will help you increase the efficiency of how everything goes. And it was awesome to see. And he was that was a big inspiration of where I am today.
So you said you're getting ready to learn about a hockey, and now we're, I guess that was 2011, I think it was, the seminar, and now we're 2014. So what was the transition like? Like, why did you say, I mean, hockey, I'll be honest, like, hockey's not that exciting. I'm more of a basketball, you know, baseball guy. Yeah. So what's up? Why did you go to baseball?
I've played baseball my life, and I actually got a scholarship to play at the school that I got my degree at, Sonoma State. And so I've had baseball in my blood, and it was a passion. And, hockey was a stepping stone for me, and I had an opportunity to move up to the Bay Area to train baseball players and take over the program at the school that I got my degree at. And I took it, and ever since then, you know, I've been loving it.
Okay, so now you went to the seminar, you got, you know, the opened the arc, and I guess you got to see like what Dan John and Mike are all about. So what did you do after you got home? Was it just like a case of, all right, you know, I gotta like rewrite my stuff? And what got you, now that we're talking 3 years later, like what was that journey like?
I mean, it's one of those, like, the, you know, the MasterCard priceless journeys in a sense, because he gave me different routes to follow, and he's the one that got me into kettlebells. He says, you need to get into kettlebells. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, kettlebells. And I started to read about how they help improve different aspects of training with athletes. And then that got me into talking to other strength coaches about what they did. And it's just like they talk about a progression and a process that is improved everything I've done, because when it's all said and done, everyone moves the same. You have some specific things, but as Dan would say, we always hinge, we always, you know, squat, we always push, we always pull, you know. And with him, you add a loaded carry, it's a game changer. And so,
yeah, I think he brings this up a lot in his talks, and we get it when a parent comes in with their, you know, up-and-coming 13-year-old whatever player, whatever, no matter what they're playing, football, hockey, baseball, basketball, whatever, they come in and say, you know, you guys got baseball-specific training, right? Like, this is going to be a baseball program. And at the end of the day, we're like, I mean, yeah, we have stuff for overhead athletes, but to be honest, like, we do the same program for all of our athletes. And is that kind of like what you're talking about?
That's kind of exactly what we're talking about. We were actually talking earlier about it, and Dan uses the phrase like Mexican food. I was talking to one of a friend that was talking to me about, you have clients coming and ask for baseball specific. I said, it's like almost every single day a parent wants to say, I want my son to be on a baseball specific program. I says, perfect. Yeah. We'll have him on a baseball specific program. And when they leave, we're doing all the different movements that don't pertain to baseball in a sense, because I see a lot of baseball players that all they do is play baseball, and we need to understand that there's so much to learn, so much information and feedback that we can get from all these different movements, from jumping, side-to-side movement patterns, that will help those kids and athletes be a better baseball player in the end, because when it was all said and done, I wasn't playing just baseball when I was 6-7 years old. It was every sport, from basketball, soccer, you know, football, anything I can get my hands on. You know, I was going outside and climbing trees, and I think sometimes we get away from those things. It's kids, just let them play, let them have fun. And what if baseball is not really the sport they really want to play, you know?
Yeah, that kind of just brings me to the next thing I wanted to ask you about. Just like really cool stuff that's going on, things that we're learning about, primarily like breathing pattern stuff, like what, you know, the effects that simple things like belly breathing can have on you before you lift or before you train, anything like that. So I know you've been getting into this stuff. What have you found, and what have your techniques been like for utilizing this stuff?
Well, I've been doing a lot more research and reading, and been learning a lot of stuff, like with PRI and how they use breathing and how they reposition, just how, because of how the diaphragm moves and stuff. And we're starting to use that a lot with our clients. Instead of bracing and stuff like that, we'll change it to time, in the sense of we'll have them breathe. We'll say we want 10 breaths, then relax for 5-10 seconds, and then we'll do that again. And it gets them away from thinking, okay, I got to be there 20-30 seconds, and gets them working on that diaphragmic breathing, because when it's all said and done, if they're doing a lot of secondary respiratory breathing, they're probably not moving or stabilizing as efficiently as they could, and then we're not getting to where we want with the goal.
What, I mean, aside from like behavior change stuff, like that's probably the most fascinating, you know, one of the most fascinating things that I've been researching and learning about is the PRI stuff. Another thing is like for athletes or clients is like consistency. So like what are you guys doing in terms of like helping people with that?
Well, we just try and talk to them and sit down with them, and that's usually with the first consultation. We try to see where they're at, you know, because they come and see us maybe twice a week, but they got a lot of external factors outside of the gym that are possibly causing them not to be able to get to where they want. And it's not their fault, because they also, you know, have to put food on the table for their kids, and they have to take their kids to soccer practice, and they have to go do this and do that. And so what we try and break them down is we try and find what can be the most consistent for them, and we just start with one thing at a time. Let's just simply alter or help, you know, change one thing, and then slowly progress that way, and not try and change the whole world. And if we can get them consistently doing one thing, like for instance, we want our clients to consistently, just before you go to bed, just breathe, do some diaphragmic breathing before you go to sleep, you know, rest, or, you know, when you're in a stressful state, take three deep breaths and then see what happens. And then they start to see better changes. And then from there, you know, you're just able to build on.
It's so funny you say that, just because I have a client who's dealt with, you know, breathing problems forever. He, like, sometimes wakes up, feels like he's drowning because he can't. He's, like, trying to catch up with his breath. And he's, like, did the breathing stuff for a couple nights, slept way better, stopped doing it. I don't know. That's just people. It's humans.
It's humans, and it's hard, but it's like, and then they'll come in, like, well, I didn't, and they kind of feel bad, but it's like, if you can flip it into a positive situation for them to let them understand, that's life. You know, that happens all the time. And then just to get right back on the boat, you know, just keep moving forward and understand it's not a bad thing that if, you know, you mess up once or twice, it's going to happen, you know?
All right, well, we're just going to pause there with Taylor for now. Like I said, a lot of these are just going to be introductions for people that are out there, and we'll do some more in-depth stuff down the road. But in the meantime, if you want to check out Taylor's stuff, you can get at him on Facebook at Taylor Lewis. You can just type in Taylor Lewis. You'll find him. And also FP Performance is another way that you can find them on Facebook. And, of course, everyone's got a website these days, tlstrength.com. But just a heads up, it is under construction. So if you see something not working, functioning properly, or a picture's missing, don't get mad. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming soon. So we're really excited about it. And it's something that we're, you know, really can pursue to help others. And that's the biggest thing, is helping others reach their goals.
Awesome, Taylor. Thank you so much for taking the time. We will be back with another talk, hopefully, right after this.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, we're coming up on the final interview of the episode. And first off, I hope you're enjoying this stuff. Like, this is kind of what I want to mix in here going forward, is a lot of, you know, fresh voices and people that you guys may have not heard of, but are doing really, really cool stuff. So make sure you are listening to this, because just from, like, I had a blast doing these interviews and to talking to some new people and to really, you know, get some people's background of why they do this stuff and not just what they're doing. But before we go into this final interview, I want you to remember that you can support the show by going to thefitcast.com and clicking on that donations tab. Please, like I said, if you enjoy what we're doing, jump on there and support the show with a donation. And of course, go to iTunes and submit a review if you haven't already. Try to keep the FitCast towards the top of those fitness and nutrition podcasts, because there's just so much garbage out there. And you guys know that from seeing people that post articles and videos of stuff on Facebook or Twitter about all the crazy stuff people are doing. But please, like I said, if you can support us in one or both of those ways, that would be fantastic, and it means a lot. It really does. Every time, I mean, people probably, I mean, if you're listening, you know this, or I should say, if you made a donation, like, I email everyone that donates, just, you know, do a little personal email, just because it is, it means that you guys like this stuff and you like what we're doing for these last 600 hours of audio. But yeah, here's the last interview. Really cool stuff. And we'll be back next week. I was able to get Molly Galbraith again. At least I will be talking to her. So we're going to be doing another episode with her, and we got a bunch of other stuff coming up. So again, thank you as always. I just want to say goodbye one more time and say thank you for listening. Still here in Long Beach, California for the Perform Better Summit 2014. And we're here with Sean Fulton. Again, another young up-and-comer that is doing some really cool stuff in strength and conditioning and in fitness. So first off, Sean, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for letting me be here.
So we are in an empty ballroom at the beautiful Long Beach Convention Center to talk about fitness. And first thing that I want to ask you, same thing I'll ask a lot of other people that I talked to this weekend, is, you know, how did you get your start? What made you want to get into this industry?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was playing football. The doc said, you're done playing. So I went to my coach and talked to him, and I started basically being a GA in high school. Mm-hmm. And so I started coaching right out of high school. Realized that political science wasn't what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I started pursuing. I said, what are the coaches, what do they study? Mm-hmm. Kinesiology. So I started there. Mm-hmm. And went on to a junior college that has a strong personal training program. Mm-hmm. Went to Illinois, went to Exos for an internship, and now mm-hmm. I'm at BYU working on my master's and working with Dan John.
Very cool. And, you know, again, one of the reasons why I want to talk to you is just because of the cool things that you are working on. And I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier about just, like, what do people do today with so many certifications and in places where you can get education on, you know, fitness, strength and conditioning, assessments, things like that. You know, what's your take on this? Like, how do people deal with that problem of just being overwhelmed with all this stuff?
I consider myself a gold miner. So you have to sift through all the muck and the mud to find the little nuggets of gold mm-hmm. and how they apply to your paradigm, how you think. You know, working with Dan and working with Verstegen, like, you learn all these things, but how do they fit in a well-structured program? Mm-hmm. Now at BYU, I teach their weight training classes to all the students who want to learn about weight training. Mm-hmm. That's where I've really tried to hone in on my skills, is what do you really need to know mm-hmm. to pursue a greater life in fitness?
Yep. So what is it? Like, I mean, if you get out of school and you're going to get your, whatever, your basic certification, whether it be your CPT or your CSCS, like, what's the next step for people?
You know, there are a lot of options. Mm-hmm. I think as long as you have something that's nationally recognized, you make it the best you can be through mm-hmm. continuing education. So I think that's where it's really the strong point is get something that you can get insured on. Mm-hmm. That people recognize, and then learn from there and kind of create your own brand.
Mm-hmm. All right, so kind of going off of that stuff, you know, I know we're talking a lot about programming and program design and things like that before. So let's get into that for a second. Like, what are some of, like, the main core concepts that you like to look at when it comes to designing programs?
So the first thing I like to kind of look at is, what is a goal? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want to achieve mm-hmm. and why? Like, do you want to impress your ex-girlfriend when you go back to your 10-year reunion? Mm-hmm. Do you want to get into the league? And so you need to decide what's your goal. Mm-hmm. And then you take some metrics, you know, the FMS, a VO2, a 5-10-5, mm-hmm. bench press, whatever you want to look at. Mm-hmm. And then reassess the goal. Is it possible? Can you still achieve that? You know, if you're mm-hmm. 50, 50, 60 pounds overweight, can you be an 8% body fat?
Yep.
Yes, but how long is that going to take? Is it realistic? Mm-hmm. So I could start there and then talk about, you know, what's your time frame? Mm-hmm. Are you 2 months out? Is it next week? Do you have 5 years? How much time are you willing to commit to this goal per times per week, hours per day, whatever it is? And then you can start deciding your splits and all your routines for your program. Mm-hmm.
So for people out there that don't, maybe they don't even have like a time frame or something like that. Like they've just been lifting for the last 2 years. They're kind of spinning their wheels. Do you have any advice for people out there on how to kind of just get some guidance and figure a path that they should take?
Yeah, I think there's some basic things, and a lot of coaches have written on this. Dan's written Intervention, great book to kind of see where am I. He's got two analogies in there, bus bench and park bench, of take care of yourself and then gear up for a competition. So sometimes people, they need that high school reunion, or, you know what, I'm a good lifter, I'm going to enter a powerlifting meet, and just setting a goal to reach it. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really something to kind of look to, see who's, you know, Boyle talked today about finding common ground with people. Mm-hmm. What is everyone doing? And start there. Mm-hmm. You know, most coaches, they talk about pushing, pulling, squatting, hinging, and doing some other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good place to start.
What have you learned from Dan John, just taking what you know and really taking some of his advice and seeing what he does at his place? What have you been able to take from what he does and apply it to what you're doing?
One thing I really like about Dan is finish what you start. Mm-hmm. You run a program for 6 weeks, don't wuss out after a week or even a day. Finish it.
Yep.
It's going to suck. Maybe you wrote a terrible program, but you know now, now it's bad, and how to improve that. You don't get that without trying it first. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really something, and keeping it simple.
Yep.
You know, people try to make all this hard exercise. You know, I had a student come to me the other day. He goes, "Coach, you see this exercise? You know, it's a great, really hard." And I'm like, "You want something hard? Try Mass Made Simple."
Yep.
And it has a goal, and it's been proven, right? We know we can get bigger doing 50 back squats. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It's hard. Yeah. But life's not always about being hard. Mm-hmm. You want to move well, move often, as like Cook and Dr. Burton say, and take care of your body.
For sure. And, you know, I've heard Dan John talk a lot about that. You know, whatever you're going to do, even if you don't think it's working, just stick with it and finish it. I am very weak-willed, and I usually – I mean, I was that kid in college who was, like, jumping from program to program. As soon as something was, like, up on T-Nation, I was like, oh, man, this looks totally different than what I was doing before. Do you still think there's some benefit for people to – at least experiment with a bunch of different stuff? Because I know for me, it was all about finding what works, because you just never knew if like the next program was going to be the one that clicked with you or not.
Yeah. If you're going to do that, again, finish what you started and then try something new. Mm-hmm. You know, that way you can speak to it. A couple years ago, Perform Better, Nick Winkleman was asked a question. The whole board was asked questions. You know, what do you think about P90X and Insanity? Mm-hmm. And they all said yes or no to it. But then Nick said, you know, I tried both, so I could speak to both.
Yeah.
And so unless you've tried it, you can't knock it. And that way you can speak to it. You can say, this worked well, what this didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think you have to figure out, is this for me, is by trying it. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, we could have Mike Boyle go to a CrossFit workout, but, man, those are brutal. I don't know if he'll come back from that. With all that being said, we've been here for – we're in the second day now of the Perform Better Summit, or I guess really the third day. Are there any, like, take-home points that you've gotten from any of the talks, anything that's really stood out from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, you know, I really liked Coach Boyle's thing today about establishing a baseline in your exercise progressions and saying this is where we start. Mm-hmm. We can go – and a continuum, a little more easier as we need to, and harder. Mm-hmm. And I think that was, for me, was great, because you have all these exercises in your mind is where's ground zero, and then where's the basement, and then where's the ninth floor. Mm-hmm. And with all that, I think that helped solidify some things in my mind. That's probably one of the things I learned most today. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, great things from Dan and Greg Cook this weekend. Like self-limiting exercise is always a great thing. I think, you know, the way I think in my mind, that carries and all that stuff in dance is the other movements. Mm-hmm. That's movement with load, or dance isn't with integrity. And that's all of those things, you know, brachiation, loaded carries, pushing. I think learning more about that is always a great thing to do.
how awesome is that certified functional strength coach certification sounding? That thing sounds awesome, right?
It does. It sounds a lot, very good. You know, after spending so much money and effort in internships, having something that you can just watch and then go test, I think is really great for young coaches and even experienced coaches just to learn more. Am I, you know, Dan says never believe your own BS. And I think that's really important. You know, like, you might be the best coach out there, but unless you're humble enough to learn from others, you'll never learn anymore, and then you'll get passed up.
Awesome. Well, that is my plug that I'm inserting for Certified Functional Strength Coach at certifiedfsc.com. But before we wrap up, like, any, you know, final thoughts from things, you know, whether it be what we discussed today or things that you saw this weekend? It's just kind of crazy when you come to these Perform Better summits, you just get almost overwhelmed with stuff when you come out here. And this is my third one this year, so I've seen like almost every talk at least once. And I was just kind of curious for you, anything else besides what you already mentioned that has really stood out?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you see all this stuff, there's just so much to take, and you can go home and put it right in.
Yep.
I think it's really important to take a step back and organize your thoughts.
Totally, yeah.
You know, I've really started to, when I read books, because I read books outside of strength and conditioning. I want to make myself better as a person. So right now I'm reading 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah.
And I want to take those kinds of books and the notes I took and make them PowerPoints. If I had to teach this, what would I teach and why?
Good idea.
And I think that's really important to do when you come to these conferences is take it back, try to reteach it. Mm-hmm. So whether you're on the plane, write up a PowerPoint and break down what you learned. That way you can hone in on the skills and really understand, why am I moving like this? Mm-hmm. Why did they, like, try to understand the reasoning and how it fits into your paradigm. I think that's really important to do.
Very good. Well, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time for us. This is probably going to be it for the interview series at Perform Better in Long Beach for episode 301. But again, thank you everyone out there for checking out the podcast. Don't forget to go on iTunes, subscribe on there. If you enjoy the show, please go to thefitcast.com/donations, or just go to thefitcast.com and you can click on that donation tab on the left-hand side. And I guess we got to give them props. Dan John sponsored this episode to just get some up-and-comers, some fresh voices on the show. He was in agreement once I had the idea that it was a great idea, great mind thinks alike, think alike. And man, I'm just tired. I think it's about time to go home. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you.